Ms. Patterson?
Peterson, yeah.
Peterson, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get settled in and out of the courtroom, and I think that has happened now. So you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Lindsay Peterson. I'm here on behalf of the personal representative of the estate of Mark Anthony Helms. Chris Helms is the personal representative. Mark Anthony Helms was 19 when he died in 1983. I was not born yet. He was survived by his mother, Mary Ann Helms, later Turek, his father, Marvin, his brother, Chris, and his sister, Rebecca. He was killed in a terrorist attack, which was the worst terrorist attack against the United States until the 2001 incident in New York. Took an act of Congress to bring a claim against the Islamic Republic of Iran. That was done. Our United States Congress could do something in the 90s. And in 2001, this estate was open. This estate was open in the state of Nebraska. It was not open. There's no evidence of an estate in any other state. And at that time, this estate then brought a wrongful death. The personal representative of this estate brought a wrongful death proceeding in the United States District for the District of Columbia. That was done in 2001.
So it was the Nebraska, your current client's predecessor as personal representative, who participated as a party in the United States District Court case in the District of Columbia.
That's correct.
And so it was literally the identical party.
That's correct.
And the United States District Court in that action determined that there were no domiciliaries in the state of Nebraska, didn't it?
It did.
So the very issue that you're seeking to raise here was decided adversely in the U.S. District Court case, wasn't it?
Your Honor, there were two separate documents in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, one being a judgment, the other being a memorandum and opinion.
And the reasoning appears in the memorandum opinion.
That's correct.
And the judgment simply contains the ultimate relief. Correct.
Also correct.
So aren't those documents construed together as a single decision?
Well, they were written at the same time and they were entered at the same time. The memorandum in order discusses liability and whether or not certain plaintiffs can bring cases. There were 1,500 individual cases that were all combined into one. There were 128 wrongful death proceedings.
Some of which were from states other than North Carolina.
One was the Philippines. There were
But four none or from five. Nebraska.
None identified in that particular matter.
So don't we know by process of elimination that the court there determined that Mark Helms was a domiciliary of North Carolina?
Your Honor, the issue is that's the core issue, and the issue is that if that's the line of thinking that we're following all the way through the distribution of those proceeds, of those wrongful death proceeds, that this court here would not have any jurisdiction, and this court has recognized jurisdiction since 2001, and has entered an order in which it has determined the distribution of proceeds.
Well, you don't have to be a domiciliary of the state to open a probate proceeding in the state, do you?
Under the venue proceedings, the first prong is you're domiciled in the state.
Or
you've got property in the state, and there are the statutes provide a conflicting provision so that if there is conflicting states that can be determined. And it's our position that given the fact that there is no evidence of any estate that was ever opened in North Carolina for Mark Anthony Helms, that this court thereby has to have the domicile. I believe that in the United States District Court, there were 128 wrongful death claims, and they were trying to streamline this as far as liability is concerned. That was the main issue in that memorandum and order, was the liability, not necessarily the distribution.
You're not contending that Mark Helms' wrongful death action was not fully and completely adjudicated in the U.S. District Court action, are you?
We're not claiming that at all.
And the U.S. District Court, in the memorandum opinion, determined that the proceeds would go to the beneficiaries under North Carolina law, correct?
There is, in a several, I think the opinion's about 38 pages long, there is one sentence at the very end of the wrongful death proceeding that contains that language. And it's our position that that language is dictum based on the fact that there's 1,500 plaintiffs in this case, and again, it's focused on liability. And that given the fact that this court has exercised jurisdiction since 2001 over the estate of Mark Helms, that this state is the state that is in a better position to determine the distribution of those proceeds. And particularly given the fact that there's no evidence of an estate in North Carolina, theoretically, then this matter should be distributed if there's no other evidence of any other assets in this estate other than these proceeds from this wrongful death determination.
Can a Nebraska court distribute using North Carolina law?
It could. With that, I think that we also have to look at, again, who is best situated to be making that determination. And Nebraska, we're asking for a hearing in order to determine who the next of kin is, as opposed to immediately going to the intestacy statutes, which Justice Castle so eloquently wrote, in Panic in 2015, there's a difference between survival actions and wrongful death proceeds. And if you're going under a survival action, those do get distributed pursuant to intestacy if there's not a will. And that's a completely separate matter here, where we have wrongful death proceeds.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't the key to your argument your assertion that Mark Helms' wrongful death claim in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia was asserted under Nebraska Section 30-810? Isn't that the heart of your argument?
I want to make sure that I understand your question, that you're asking if the claim itself is brought under Nebraska's wrongful death laws.
Yes.
No. I don't think that that's the case at all. That the case was specifically brought under North Carolina wrongful, that particular statute. But that doesn't limit how the proceeds of that wrongful death claim should be distributed. There could be a wrongful death action for somebody in a car accident that's a domiciliary of the state of Nebraska in Kansas. But Kansas is not the state that's best situated to determine how those proceeds should be distributed. It would be the state of Nebraska, which has the greatest connections to the decedent.
Would that have to be preceded by a registration of a judgment?
Not necessarily, because in this particular case, the estate in Nebraska is the estate that received proceeds that were an asset in this estate, and they're proceeds from the wrongful judgment, the wrongful judgment proceeds that was received here in the state of Nebraska that's now an asset of the estate. Because it's a wrongful death proceeds as opposed to a survival action, we have to look to the specific Nebraska statutes on distribution.
To use your example, the Kansas-Nebraska one, if the Nebraska resident is killed in a motor vehicle accident in Kansas, and we're assuming that there's no survival, it was instantaneous, so there's a wrongful death and wrongful death only, that action would be, even though it's brought in Kansas, would be an assertion of the wrongful death claim under 30-810, right?
Your Honor, there's not evidence in this particular matter as far as how the conflicts of laws was determined in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. And that was determined by that court, and the only thing that is here in this court is a wrongful death judgment. How they arrive, and the memorandum and order does discuss the fact that they're using the North Carolina statutes in order to determine the liability. But I'm sure that there were attorneys that were paid far greater than I am in this case that had arguments regarding the conflicts of laws issues on 1,500 different plaintiffs.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm out of time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newhouse, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Joe Newhouse. I'm here on behalf of the three interested parties who contend that this case is not a wrongful death case. It is a summary judgment case. The court need only rule on whether there was a genuine issue of material fact. Everything else is a distraction.
Well, summary judgment's just a procedure. What was the nature of the action that was being decided by the county court? Was it a probate proceeding?
It was a probate proceeding, yes, that obtained monies from a wrongful death action in the District of Columbia using North Carolina law.
So succinctly, your position, I take it, is it was never, the proceeding in the U.S. District Court was never a Nebraska wrongful death claim. It was a North Carolina wrongful
death
claim.
That's correct, Your Honor, yes.
And that's based on the federal court's memorandum opinion.
Yes. Summary judgment was proper because the appellant has not and cannot show that there was a genuine issue of a material fact. Appellant has not disputed any material fact, and despite his claim to the contrary, he's failed to allege any genuine issue of material fact and has failed to preserve evidence to support his claims. He's attempted to make the record appear as if there is a genuine issue of material fact, but all of his arguments are simply legal arguments.
If the federal court memorandum and opinion had referred to a Nebraska, one of the claims being a Nebraska wrongful death action, wouldn't your argument have very little strength, if any?
No. Even if we were to use Nebraska law, even if they had referred to Mr. Helms as a Nebraska domiciliary, the Nebraska laws of intestacy would apply, and therefore it would be distributed as it should to the parents.
It wouldn't have been Section 30-810 that it would control?
Well, it would have.
That's widow, which we all agree there was no widow.
Correct.
And next of kin.
Next of kin is last on that list.
Right. And next of kin is not just limited to the heirs in intestacy, is it?
Correct. That's relevant here, however, because Mr. Helms was intestate when he passed away. So he died intestate, and so either his estate passes under the laws of North Carolina, which it did in the District of Columbia memorandum opinion.
Let's use Ms. Peterson's Kansas example. Suppose we have Nebraska domiciliary killed wrongfully in an automobile accident instantaneously in Kansas. Generates a wrongful death judgment. They come back to the Nebraska court to distribute it, and the decedent in that case had a widow. Well, we'll say it didn't have a widow. It had parents, but also had a lineal descendant, a child. How would the proceeds be distributed in that instance?
Well, it would first go to the parents and to the child. If I'm remembering correctly, it goes
but
to
under,
the parents first.
Under intestacy, it would all go to the child. But that's not the way our wrongful death statute works, does it?
No, but again, this is not a wrongful death case.
This is a probate distribution of a North Carolina wrongful death claim established in a U.S. District Court judgment. That's your position.
That's exactly correct, yes.
So conceptually, is this just a registration of a judgment, and it is what it is, and all the litigation's over?
That's exactly right, and I was getting into the doctrine of res judicata. This has already been decided in the District Court for the District of Columbia, and therefore their claim is barred. Even if we were to go back to the question, your line of questioning, their claim was barred under the wrongful death statute in Nebraska 2 years after his death. So that would have been 1985. Even if we were to accept the appellant's premise that this is a wrongful death action, that Mark Elms was domiciled. Let me
stop you on that. What effect, if any, would the federal legislation have had on Nebraska's wrongful death statute of limitations? Presumably there was a statute of limitations in North Carolina as well.
Well, that was passed, and then 2 years lapsed. There were more than two years after the passage of the federal legislation, and they still didn't file a claim in Nebraska.
I see.
But the statute of limitations is an affirmative defense that the defendant may or may not raise, correct?
Correct. But they didn't raise that argument here, of course.
Did the federal court do any conflicts of law analysis or sort of dance over it?
I don't believe they did. I don't recall with specificity the opinion discussing that in great detail.
Is that significant?
No. They found, as the memorandum opinion states, that there were domiciliaries of a number of states, most of them being North Carolina and a few others. Nebraska was not mentioned in that.
Your point that it's not significant is that it wasn't appealed. There was a final determination. It became final, and
that's correct.
Nobody appealed from it. And even if it was erroneous, it was not without jurisdiction.
That's correct.
So conceptually, this event that we're discussing is a collateral attack on that judgment.
It may be. Even if we were to accept the appellant's premise that this is a wrongful death action, that Mark Helms was domiciled in Nebraska at the time of death, and that an action under Section 30809 and 810 were authorized, the appellant's much too late, as I just said, because there's a number of years. I mean, we're now in 2019. The claim was not till 2017. And the appellant argues that essentially he and his sister should receive all of the distribution. This is not so. Under Nebraska's law of intestate succession, next of kin are last on the list, as I said before. First is spouse. There was no spouse. Next are children. There were no children. Next are parents. Both of the decedent's parents survived his death, and that's all that's necessary. They need not survive distribution of assets. The argument of appellant is basically that this court must ignore the fact that there are no issues of material fact, ignore the laws of intestate distribution of both Nebraska and North Carolina, ignore the two-year statute of limitations contained within the wrongful death statute, ignore the fact that the decedent was found to be a domiciliary of North Carolina, ignore the clear language of the memorandum and opinion of the United States District Court for the District of Columbia in Peterson that stated how the proceeds were to be distributed, ignore the meaning of next of kin, and remand these proceedings to allow a personal representative to have a hearing to attempt to persuade the court that our laws are not fair and that persons entitled by law to receive distribution from this estate should not so receive.
if this were to proceed under North Carolina probate law, would the result be the same?
Yes, it would, Your Honor. If there are no further questions, I thank you and ask you to affirm the ruling of the district court.
I guess one last question. Isn't it correct that North Carolina's wrongful death statute is different from Nebraska's in that it explicitly directs that the same persons would take a wrongful death claim who would take under the Intestate Succession Act?
That is one difference. I don't think it's material to these proceedings.
Thank you.
If Mr. Helms is a North Carolina domiciliary, is there a jurisdictional problem with the probate moving forward in this state?
No, I don't believe there is. I think Justice Castle described that in his back and forth with the appellant. We're talking about the simple proceeds from a wrongful death. You can have an estate set up in the state in which there's property. So
is there property other than this judgment in Nebraska of Mr. Helms?
There is. There are also the other claims from the Peterson case, including I think intentional infliction of emotional distress. But those are irrelevant to the case of Barr.
Mr. Helms didn't have other property in Nebraska.
I don't believe he did.
How are the proceeds of those other claims, those non-wrongful death claims, being distributed? How's that being managed?
I think that's yet to be determined. I'm not sure.
In any event, it's not in our record.
Correct.
Is it judgment? Some property that could be brought in any state?
I'm sorry?
Is it judgment property that can be brought, distributed in any state under the... Could this be done in Iowa?
If there was no... if there was some sort of interest in Iowa, then it could be brought in Iowa. I don't believe that there is anything lacking with a probate case being brought in Nebraska, however.
And that's because of what?
Because these are the proceeds that came from the wrongful death judgment in the District of Columbia are wrongful death proceeds for the estate that was set up here in Nebraska, meaning that they're I'm not really sure how to answer that question.
Are the proceeds physically in Nebraska?
I'm sorry?
Are the proceeds physically in Nebraska?
No.
The beneficiaries of the intestacy statutes in Nebraska?
I'm sorry?
Are the beneficiaries of the application of the intestacy statutes in Nebraska?
Yes, beneficiaries. The parents at the time of death, of course, were in Nebraska. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day.